Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 37. Judges, chapter 6, verse 37.
Judges, chapter 6, verse 37 reads this way. It says, "Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, asking your blessing on your word, on us, Lord, your people. May you open up our hearts and minds to give us more understanding on the salvation that you've given to us. Lord, your will for our lives, the blessings and the promises that you have in store for us, even on this side of eternity. Lord, may you guide us into them, and may your name be honored and glorified and our lives blessed. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is simply, "Then Shall I Know, Then Shall I Know." God has things for us to know. Amen. He wants to give us things. He wants to do things in our life. So I want to ask you a question, and that is, does our God want us to have a I think so faith or an I know so faith? Right? He wants us to know so. He doesn't want us to, you know, some people say, well, how can anybody know? Well, that's because God reveals himself, spiritually speaking, to us through salvation. But not only through salvation, he also wants us to have the victory, right? We start off from victory when we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the victory of salvation. And then he gives us the victory to stand for him and to walk through this life for his honor and glory and our blessing. So it is God's will to glorify himself in the life of all of his believers. And in order for God to glorify himself in our lives, he has promised to work through us what we cannot perform. And we'll see that here this evening. So in doing so, God proves himself strong on the behalf of those who truly trust him to fulfill his word. So that's what it really comes down to. And God wants to turn the light bulb on for us to say, oh, it's really that simple. I just need to trust you and walk in that trust, right? It's not anything profound, and yet it's so simple, and yet we can miss it, naturally speaking. All we have to do is believe that what God is wanting to do, he's wanting to do for me personally, right? He's wanting to do for you personally. So back up with me to verse 33, and here's what we're going to look at. We're going to try to move quickly through 4 points, and so that gives me roughly about maybe a few minutes for each one, so we're going to try to do this here. The first thought is the problem concerning the enemy. And we do have the enemy still to contend with today, different kind of enemy, but still the main enemy is the same, and that's Satan, of course. And then the promise confirmed by God, and then the problem concerning the people of God, and then the place of faith in God's great faithfulness. So go with me, if you will, to verse 33, and here's the problem concerning the enemy. Verse 33 reads this way. It says, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun, unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him," or to meet there. And so as you look at this right here, the Lord is allowing Gideon to understand what is going on. There is an assault taking place, getting ready to take place on the people of God. By the way, the same thing is true today. The devil is always waiting to make an assault in your life and mine. And so he's going to show us here, really, the easiest way, the only way, really, to have the victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see the work that the Lord is doing. By the way, the Lord was right here with Gideon, was he not? And the Lord is also with us tonight, is he not? And he's also with us every day and every moment of every day as we go throughout the days of our life. And God wants us to know that I am right there to fulfill my promises in our lives. So now let's look at the promise confirmed by God. So he sees the enemy now. Now we're going to attack the enemy. God says, now here's, I want you to stand against the enemy. God wants us to, one of our enemies is the flesh, is it not? Amen? And God wants us to overcome the flesh. By the way, another enemy, of course, we know is Satan, right? The roaring lion. And God wants us to stand against him. And then obviously the world, right? The world that hated our God, that also hates us as well. And God wants us to stand against all of these enemies here, all three of these enemies. But here's the key ingredient. God does not want us to do it in our strength, with our might, because we don't have it. It's just not there. So again, he's getting Gideon to get ready to go out to battle. And notice what Gideon does here. And by the way, God wants... You never find God chastening Gideon for doing this. And Gideon said unto God, verse 36, if thou wilt save Israel by thine hand as thou hast said. So the Lord said he was going to do it. And then Gideon is saying, if. I don't know about this, right? This is something, if you remember, when the Lord came to him, he was hiding behind the wine press there, threshing his wheat, because he was afraid of the enemy. So it's not like he's a mighty man of valor by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm glad that God chose a man just like Gideon, because that means he can use anybody, right? He didn't choose Gideon because he was a mighty man of valor. He chose Gideon because he could glorify himself in Gideon's life by the power of his might, right? God's might. So look with me, if you will, in verse 36, and here's what he says. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the ground beside, then shall I know. So here's the question. Did God want Gideon to know that he was going, that the Lord was going to be with him? Yes, he did. You never find the Lord chasing him for doing this. And by the way, in eternity past, the Lord knew that Gideon was going to face this. This is nothing brand new to the Lord. He knew this was coming, and God is glad to do it, because it shows the glory of the Lord. The power was not in Gideon to do this. The power was not in anybody to perform this specific task here. Gideon was asking him to do something that was not possible with man. Amen? So he wanted to know, he knew he needed the power of God to intervene on his behalf. So if God could intervene and do something that was impossible, he said, I would have the confidence. He thought he would have the confidence to go ahead and follow the Lord in his direction. So again, He said, if it be dry on all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Verse 38. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So the whole ground was dry, and the fleece was enough to where he filled. I don't know how big the bowl was, but I will tell you this. It impressed Gideon, right? He said, boy, listen, I'm going to make sure that you're not just going to get a couple drops. You're going to get a bowl full. And so he's got his confidence. Now he's ready to go. No, not yet. But he said he would. He said, if you'll do this, then I'll know. And then notice verse 39. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, right? He's saying, I need something else now. Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So he says, if you can do it, you can reverse it for me, and that's going to give me what I need. You never find the Lord abrading Gideon for wanting to see that, for wanting to do that. God knew that he was asking a big thing for him to do, and it glorified the Lord to perform that for the glory of the Lord, because he was getting ready to do something else, right? He was getting ready to do something pretty big for the Lord. And by the way, if you remember Thomas says, oh, unless I see the print of the nails in his hands, and unless I can put my finger in his side, I can't believe, right? And the Lord shows up and he says, here, Thomas, do what you need to do. And he said, my Lord and my God. God gave Thomas what he needed to walk a life of faith. God also wants to perform in our lives the things that he's promised, so that we can have confidence in moving forward. So let's take a little thing in our life that we battle with, that we know we need the Lord to fix, and ask him to do it, and then by faith believe that he's going to do it, and watch what he will do. Listen, God God wants us to be holy, for he's holy, and he's asking us to be holy that have no holiness. Isn't that the truth? But God says, I'll give you my holiness. I'll give you my righteousness. And that's what glorifies the Lord. So if we say, okay, Lord, you and me time, I want to prove you personally in my life. And listen, that's how we begin to grow in the Lord, because we prove the Lord and we're calling upon the Lord to do something we can't do. We're asking him to do it for us, and then watch what happens. All right, very quickly here. So now we find the promise confirmed by God. Now let's look at the problem concerning the people of God. And really, that's pride. Pride, listen, the people of God have pride. So look at verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Mori in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest, this is what he's saying, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Do you see what the Lord's concerned about? Listen to what the Lord is speaking right here, and he's saying, it's too easy. It's too much. I mean, listen, the people of God are going to lift up their hearts, and they're going to say, I did this myself, right? And so the Lord says, it's too much. Verse 3, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Now, here it is, ready? Fathom this thought. You're one of the ones that remained. And you just saw your army. By the way, you're getting ready to face a multitude of people like the sand of the sea. We're going to see that here in just a second. And all of a sudden, you see your army cut down to size. Amen? And you're looking and you're saying, wow, you know, I felt better when they were here with us. Now I don't know how I feel. And so likewise also, listen, God wants to put us in a place where we don't see ourselves being significant to the task. So when we say, Lord, when God wants us to say, without you, I can't do it. I can't do it. But with you, I have that confidence that you will do it for me. You will give me what I need. If I'll just abide in you, that's the key. Abiding in the Lord and the Lord abiding in us is what gives us the victory. And if you're born again, you're in Christ, right? So you don't have to ask God to do anything for you. All you have to do is walk in that confidence by faith. That's trust, right? Lord, I'm trusting you. You're going to perform this and prove the Lord. And pick out, let's even ask the Lord. Lord, give me one thing in my life that I can bring to you for you to overcome, so that I can be encouraged to continue walking with you and growing, and asking you to increase my coast by doing more and more, that I might be able to have the victory in more and more of the areas in my life that you would have control in. So as we look at this, they left now, and now they're down to 10,000. And notice what happens here. And the Lord said, verse 4, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought, now he didn't even know, God didn't even tell him what's going on. Remember, the first one was like an optional. If you want to leave, you can go, right? If you're afraid, you can go. So he brought down the people, verse 5, unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with the tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you? Who's going to save him? The Lord is going to do it. Here's the thing. Listen, who's going to deliver us? Who's going to give us the victory? Who's going to overcome sin in our lives? If we give it over to him, that is the whole key right there. And it comes across, it is so unnatural for us to do that. that it takes a while. And I'm still learning and I'm still trying to grasp that. But I know that if I'll just let go, and we've heard this saying so much, just give it over to the Lord. Remember, you've heard that, right? Give it over to the Lord. Well, what does that mean? It means give it to the Lord. We say, okay, Lord, it's yours, but I'll help you out. The Lord says, that's not what I said. Give it to me. How much of it? All of it, right? But if we hold any part of it back, then we leave room for us to say, I did it. See, if we don't give it over to all, what does it mean to give it all over to the Lord? Lord, I cannot perform any of it. Forget about performing it just for a day or two. That's not doing it. God wants to conquer it in our life completely. And not that we can't ever do it again, but he wants us to walk in his confidence. So, Lord, I need to give it all over to you so that when you perform what I know I can't do, I'll glorify you. I'll praise you and worship you for that. So, again, he says, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lap will I save you to deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man to his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets and sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So they're up on top, and the Midianites are in the valley. You got a good bird's eye view as you're coming down and you're looking what's waiting for you there. So here's the last thought. This is the place of faith in God's great faithfulness. Remember what the Lord did now, very quickly. The Lord did for Gideon the fleece, right? And then the dew on the ground. And then he equipped the Israelites with some, what, 32,000 men, and then he took 22 of them away, and then he's left down to 10,000, and okay, God can still do it. God can still do it. It's looking a little bit more challenging. Why would it look a little bit more challenging? Is God not the same? It looks challenging because you know what's happening? We're looking at our strength. It's challenging because I'm looking to what I can do, and God's trying to knock that out. And so here all of a sudden I felt a whole lot better with the 32,000 than I did with the 10,000, right? Let's just be honest. I'm sure those 10,000 guys said, maybe I should have said I need to go home, right? But they didn't do that. And then on top of that, the Lord says, that's too many. So he's going to use 300. My goodness, that's a small, small army, isn't it? To go against, we're going to see the enemy. But that is the way, listen, you know what the Lord is wanting us to see? How small and powerless we are so that he can be all our power. All right, so very quickly, watch this now. Ready? Verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down. The same night now, okay, so he got his, the sails are lying without the wind, right? The wind got knocked out of all the sails. He's got the 32,000, he's got the 10,000, now he's got the 300. All this is happening right, pretty fast here. And then he says this, he says, verse 9 again, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Now, I want you to know that the Lord knows that there's a problem in the heart of Gideon in trusting the Lord. God is not looking to hit Gideon over the head, and he's not looking to hit us over the head. He's looking to bring a concept through to Gideon as he's looking to bring a concept to us, and that is God does not need anybody but just you and I. That's all God needs. The truth is, all we need is the Lord to deliver us from every battle. Did Paul have victory in his life? Did Peter have victory in his life? But that's because they were looking to the Lord, right? I mean, Peter came from he told the Lord, you can't go. He didn't want him to suffer. Peter didn't want to suffer. And if you read the first and second epistles of Peter, it's all about suffering. It's all about how God works through suffering. How did Peter get to that? The Lord brought him to that, and he was even rejoicing and counting it all joy, right? And then he says, boy, after we go through these things, God establishes us and settles us and uses us for his honor and glory. Peter understood that, and God is wanting us to understand it as well. All right, very quickly. Verse 10, but if thou fear, look what the Lord is saying to him. But if thou fear to go down, go with Pura, thy servant, down to, now remember that. He says, if you fear to go down, go with Pura. So the Lord said, go, but if you're afraid, bring Pura. And here's what I want you to do. Ready? But if thou fear, verse 10, go down with Pura, thy servant, down to the host. Go look at the enemy. And then now watch what the Lord is saying. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thy, listen to this, afterwards, after you go down there, shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Pura. So he was afraid, wasn't he? I mean, if you're afraid, go with Pura. Who's he going with? Pura. So he's afraid. So then went he down with Pura, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. He's by the enemy camp here. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley, listen to this, like grasshoppers for multitudes, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. We're talking a big army, bigger than 32,000 people. It's a big army. Verse 13, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, listen to this, I dreamed a dream. The Lord knew that this was going to happen. In fact, the Lord created this dream. So watch this. There was a man, verse 13, that told a dream to his fellow, the next soldier, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto the tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Now, where did that come from? This is the enemy. They have this little dream just at the right time that Gideon shows up. He's there to overhear with Pura. He's there to overhear this dream that these two guys are talking about. Isn't that amazing? God gave him what he needed. The enemy is afraid, right? The enemy is saying, man, we're going to be delivered. Last verse, ready? Verse 15. Guess what? And it was so, listen, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, this was God's plan because he went by faith. Did you listen? If you're afraid, take Pura with you. That's still faith. That's still faith. If you're afraid for the victory, just call upon the Lord anyway. Ask God to do it. So again, verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he, listen to this, that he what? He worshiped. Why do we worship? Because God has done something. Why do we worship? Because God has saved us. Why do we worship? Because God has protected us. Why do we worship and praise? Because God is working in our lives and he gives us the occasion to worship. Listen, God is wanting to give you and I multiple occasions to keep praising his name because that's where the light of God shines through our lives and overruns and out into the world and we praise God publicly, right? We're not ashamed when God is working. God, you're worthy. So again, verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshiped and notice and returned into the host of Israel. He's going back from the enemy and said, arise, listen to this, for the Lord, this is Gideon, for the Lord, past tense, hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. God did that. And here's the truth. God is the one that wants to do it for us too. God wants to give you and I the victory. All we need is just a little bit of faith to say, okay, Lord, let's not just say I have faith. No, be specific with the Lord. In fact, pray and say, Lord, I want you to work in my life. Call to my mind what you want to overcome in my life. And just between you and the Lord. And let him give you one thing and say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you to deliver me from that. I mean, if you're God, does God want to do that in each and every one of our lives? So if we ask him and he brings something to mind, is that a coincidence or is that a God-a-wince? Amen. Is that God working? Is that God doing something in our lives, right? That's God working. So here it is. So I call upon the Lord. Lord, overcome this in my life. And he gives me something. And now by faith, how am I going to do it? No, God's going to do it. So I'm going to trust you in it, and I give it over to you. And you don't have to be thinking about it. Whatever it is, let's say somebody's short-tempered. Lord, help me to be patient. That's not the way God wants to work. I give it over to you, and Lord, and then watch what happens as you go through the day. And when you come up to a situation, God is there, and you have peace where you otherwise wouldn't have peace, and you go through it to the glory of the Lord. You know you're going to, God is not going to do this. Okay, now I'll bring it to your mind, and then when you see this situation get really hot, you work really hard not to get mad. No, that's not the way the Lord works. God is going to bring us through that situation and through that circumstance to where when we come out on the other side, we go, wow. Do you think Gideon and all them, do you think they had this military plan to attack the Gideonites? Really blowing trumpets and cracking water pots? And that? No, that was the Lord. And what happened? They were all, you ever see those just running into each other in every which way trying to get out of there? And that's the Lord working. And so tonight, God says, call on me and I'll answer. And show thee, because he wants to, because he loves us, because of his son, and to show us great and mighty things which we've not seen yet. So that's the Lord's invitation, and it's our opportunity. Would you stand as we prepare for prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We do thank you for your word, the encouragement, and Lord, the confidence that it brings of your power into our lives. May you bless and build Northwood. May we see your mighty hand working in our lives to overcome the enemy and to give us the victory, Lord, that you've given to us even through salvation. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.